just a minute. On radio, it's been catching Britain's most entertaining performers with their trousers down for many years. And now, on television, you can actually see the trousers as they come down. They're already sending me up, so let me rush away and introduce my guest. And as always, by my side, like the faithful young scamp that he is, my resident guest, the often scabrously irreverent, but always immensely entertaining, Tony Slattery! One of the Comedy Store players, most prominent and active members, without doubt the most talented improvised comedy keyboard playing nuclear physicist in the country, Dr. Richard Branch. On my right, a comedian with show business in his blood. A member of the famous Scouse family Robbins, which includes Kate Robbins, and whose father claims to have discovered Des O'Connor on an archaeological dig. The immense comic... I'm sorry. The immensely comic, Ted Robbins! And lastly, one of the funniest comedians around, who also happens to be a highly successful playwright, compere, and chat show host. Balaam's answer to Wandsworth Council. I don't really know what that means. I shouldn't think he does either. It's Arthur Smith! We do have rules in just a minute, quite loosely interpreted by me from time to time. What I do is ask them all to speak at different times, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitating, repeating anything, or deviating from the subject. Oh, they can repeat the subject. Oh, they've got them the card. There's nothing magical about that. Anyway, they can challenge whenever they wish. If I agree with the challenge, they get a point to take over the subject. If I disagree with the challenge, whoever's speaking keeps the subject and gains a point. That's how we play. Tony Slattery once more will begin, and you'll stop sending me up for a moment if you dare. Right, Tony, how we survived the Blitz. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game? Starting now.
Well, I survived the Blitz very cleverly by not being born during the war. But if you're talking about how British people generally, with their plucky Cockney spirits, in London especially, survived the Blitz, then I know of one particular family who, in fact, moved to Germany. And that's how they got out of it, tragically.
Arthur Smith.
You see, there was a Blitz in Germany as well, though, wasn't
I was
there?
Quite
see,
agree,
there,
yes.
There were bombs. You couldn't escape by going to Germany.
I was going on to make a joke about Dresden, which you
well,
ruined.
Thank God you didn't.
I'm glad you didn't make any jokes about Dresden, but...
That's right.
Yes, I quite agree, yes. And, of course, the word Blitz comes from the German word Blitzkrieg. Arthur, you have a correct challenge. So you get a point for that. You take over the subject of how we survived the Blitz. 40 seconds starting now.
We survived the Blitz by...
Ted Robbins.
Who has a...
A big hesitation. He didn't know how he survived the Blitz.
No, I didn't. I died in it. That's yeah. The problem.
Oh, you're a reincarnation. What a fascinating idea.
This, I came back as this. Yes.
Ted Robbins, nice to hear from you. First time on the show, first time to speak. A point already, and the subject, how we survived the Blitz, 36 seconds starting now.
My grandfather always said that during the Blitz, never worry about a bomb getting you, for it had to have your name on it. Now, that was fine for us.
Richard March.
He's doing Paul Merton's material, yeah? It's a great deviation.
Well, he's got it wrong anyway. It was, they said that it was the bomb you couldn't hear was the one that was destined for you.
Ah, alright. And how do you know it was Paul Merton's material?
Because he works at Paul Merton, you come to the store. This is all frightfully interesting, isn't it?
And who's Paul Merton?
Oh, shame, they said. Richard, I disagree with the challenge. Okay. So, Ted, you want another point, and you keep the subject. You have 30 seconds on how we survived the Blitz, starting now.
We survived the Blitz by regularly playing to ourselves Paul Merton videotapes, which were very enjoyable, especially the bits about a neighbour getting...
I hesitated. I hesitated. You challenged yourself.
Yes.
Well, I could feel a big hesitation coming up. So I zapped in there.
Right, well, Ted, you, I agree with the challenge, actually. You did hesitate.
But I get a point.
Yes, you get a point.
I know.
Well, It's a new way to play the game, challenge yourself. But your challenge was correct. You have another point here, you keep the subject. You could go on like this and just keep it all to yourself, couldn't you, really? How we survive the Blitz, 21 seconds are left, starting now.
The Blitz, of course, is an abbreviation for the Blitzkrieg.
Yes.
The abbreviation. I thought there was a little stumble over the double B. No, two B's.
I don't think so, do
I? Don't think so. I don't think so. No, and he hasn't played it before. No. 90
seconds. He's scoring points by challenging himself. I challenge myself. Deviation. I can just go on.
Arthur.
It's scandalous.
Arthur.
There are people out there who make their lives by the rules of this game. Look, this becoming society will crumble if this sort of thing carries on.
Arthur, when you're a Marvy old pro like me and Nicholas, love, you pick up a few tips about showbiz.
Right, 19 seconds for you, Ted, on How We Survive the Blitz, starting now.
We sang to ourselves merry little songs like Paul Merton is my hero, don't come over.
Paul Merton.
Yes. And of course, well, we've established wasn't around during the Blitz.
He's had plenty of plugs on this show, though, hasn't he?
Yes. Have I got news for you, Paul Merton? Right now, 16 seconds. 16 seconds for you, Tony, on How We Survived the Blitz, starting now.
I know one family who survived the Blitz by sending up a huge barrage balloon in the shape of Vera Lynn to confuse the Luftwaffe as they were raining bombs.
He said Luftwaffe. It was Luftwaffe.
Luftwaffe.
If you say it in German, Luftwaffe.
Luftwaffe. Luftwaffe. Right now, dear attorney, you have secrets. No, definitely it was Luftwaffe.
That's Welsh.
No, it's German. Weinisch für Sicht kommt eine Viertens in der Elf. Wie das Volk kommt eine Viertens in der Welt. How we survived the Blitz. You have 66 seconds left, starting now.
Well, we all went down in the underground and we sang old gay songs like My Old Man Said Follow the Band. They were so boring, everyone fell asleep.
That tells us that 60 seconds are up. And whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And on this occasion, it was Tony Slattery, but he's still in second place behind our leader, who is Ted Robbins.
Oh, thank you. Yes. And you...
Richard Grant, will you begin the next round? Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson. What a lovely subject. 60 seconds to tell us something about them, starting now.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's fictitious characters, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson, lived at 221B Baker Street, London. And it was from this address that they embarked upon their escapades looking for criminal masterminds. The most famous case they ever took on was the one concerning the missing flippers. This was not written up later because no one had the gall to put it in print. However, they went off...
Arthur...
You see, there's some confusion. He says it's fictitious, and now he claims that it's a real case that wasn't written up. We're in some kind of postmodernist nightmare.
Arthur, I agree with your challenge. You have 33 seconds. Tell us something about the
good job.
Well, you know, I think he was deviating from... No, he wasn't, actually. Was he?
Oh, you've just given me a point. I want the point.
Oh, you can have a point because we enjoyed the challenge. I just wanted to hear from you, Arthur. I like to spread it around, to be fair.
Yes, we know.
Richard, you have a point for being interrupted. 33 seconds, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, starting now.
Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson's arch enemy was...
Ted Robbins.
Yes, a stumble there.
Yes, yeah. Was a stumble, yes. One. Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson's with you. 29 seconds, starting now.
Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson were, in fact, very successful at Kew Gardens, where they managed to raise a lemon yellow-coloured bush. When asked what this was, he replied... A lemon tree, my dear Watson.
Richard Branch, sorry.
Not very true.
Lemons.
It wasn't nothing to do with the comedy. It was to do with the fact you repeated lemon.
Yeah, two lemons, yes.
Yes,
no,
two lemons.
Sorry.
Yes, we can't have two lemons in this show, can we? Right. I stick my neck out sometimes, but it's good.
And that's not all, hey?
Oh, steady on, Ted. Richard, we'll move rapidly on. 18 seconds, Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson starting now.
Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson's adversary was, of course, the Moriarty of...
Yes.
You said Moriarty before.
No, he didn't get it out. He tried to, but he failed. Oh. Richard, you have another point for an incorrect challenge, and you keep the subject 13 seconds, starting now.
One of their lesser-known enemies was a little...
Yes.
You definitely said enemies before, though.
Yes, enemies, yes.
Enemies.
Tony. Correct challenge, another point to you, 10 seconds. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson starting now.
Imagine the scene as Dr. Watson enters the velvet room and says, "Shirley, I thought you're in Switzerland." "Nah, that's all, you know. I have things about my personality. You..."
Yes. Again, Tony Thatcher is speaking, Mr. Whistleway, and gain an extra point for doing so. He's now caught up with Ted Robbins. They're equal in the lead, just ahead of Richard Runch. Arthur Smith. Barking Creek.
Are you?
Yes. There's a subject that has been thought up for you to speak about. 60 seconds starting now.
Just near where I live in Balham, there is a large gully where lots of canine animals gather together and make funny noises. This is Barking Creek. After a fashion, but the real Barking Creek, obviously, is in that place that begins with B and ends in ing, otherwise known as banking. thank God.
Ted, your challenge.
I just, out of pity, poor old Arthur Mullard Smith.
Yeah, Arthur Mullard, yes, no, right, he keeps saying you're right. Hesitation. Ted, you have the subject of Barking Creek, 39 seconds, starting now.
It is correct to say that Barking Creek is populated by small little animals called dogs. I was down there the other day and one little dog got hold of my leg.
And incorrect challenge, so I withdraw immediately. No, he said dogs, dogs. Many dog.
Dog
plural, sorry.
Well, listen, thank you very much.
Well, shouldn't Tony lose a point now for that?
No, what happens is Ted gains a point, because he was interrupted.
Oh, Ted always bloody gains a point.
32 seconds with you, Ted. Barking Creek starting now.
In Barking Creek, a small, ferocious pit bull terrier seized...
Yes.
We've had a small before.
Yes, you did.
Wait.
We talked about small dogs.
Oh, you're very clever.
Arthur, you've got the subject of Barking Creek back. 29 seconds starting now.
When I go to Barking Creek, I take a bag and put it over my head. And that is a great relief to all the residents there, I can tell you. Another thing I do when I go to Barking Creek is I write poetry, like this.
Talent.
Repetition of ha.
Yeah, that's even more subtle challenge than the hesitation. But you got in with 2 seconds to go, Richard, on Barking Creek, starting now.
Barking Creek is my favourite holiday resort. I've been there 4 times.
Yes. Yeah. And an extra point for doing so. Ted Rogers is now in the lead, 2 ahead of Tony Snatcher and Richard Branch. We're going to do something slightly different now. Instead of me giving them a subject, I'm going to offer them an object. That was Ray doing the offering from down below in the bowels of our desk, yes. And that stomach came from his insides. And there is the object.
just to recap, Nicholas. Were we right in hearing you say that stomach came from his insides?
Yes.
Just wanted to clarify, that's all.
Yes. I do like to test my panellists to see if they're still awake on occasion. Right. There's the object. Tony Snatchery, will you start talking and tell us, in 60 seconds if you can, something about that object?
The marriage of Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton reached new excesses on the banks of the Nile in 1976 when her jewellery collection, or so she thought, became so diminished that she desperately wanted a new token of his love. He replied by giving her the Wanky Pom diamond.
Isn't that rubbish?
Well, he's certainly deviating from that subject.
Yes.
Sorry, the object, which is now the subject. Ted, will you tell us something about that object? There are 41 seconds left, starting now.
It is, in fact, the biggest...
It's an incorrect challenge. It was just a knee-jerk reaction.
40 seconds left on the object there, starting now.
Actually, this... It's a rock.
Yes, Richard.
I think they had a bit of a pause after
you
this.
You did, yes. He was trying to get away from, in fact. And he paused. Right, 37 seconds before the object. Richard, starting now.
New Age travellers use things like that to get in touch with the ether, that thing which surrounds the entire universe and connects us to our maker. They drive along in their buses, and just in the engine compartment, they have an object like that one instead of an engine. They don't go...
Arthur.
Have we had two engines?
No, we had deviation.
I'm sorry, we've had deviation because it's not anything, it's deviation then. That's what I meant to say. How could I have said repetition? Obviously, deviation is what I've gone for.
18 seconds, Arthur. Tell us something about that object, starting now.
Let us imagine a very large ice man.
Definitely. Ted Robbins, 12 seconds, starting now.
Do you remember a popular confection called Fox's Glacier Mints? This was the original model based upon that item. In fact, it's the second time I've ever said...
When you do your stand-up act, you just say, in fact.
I just like to lie down, really.
You should know, that summer season we shared together in Cromer. Very popular, wasn't it?
correct challenge, Tony. 5 seconds on the object starting now.
This was one of the objects that was thrown at Ted in that summer season in Cromer. The act was so appalling, someone lobbed this giant...
I would give a bonus point to anybody who can make a stab at guessing what that really is.
Crack cocaine.
No. It's... Oh, I'm going to have a go. You can get a bonus if you get it right.
It's part of a building.
No.
It's a piece of art.
No, it's not a piece of art. It's
a prism.
Ian Messiter has it in his home, who thought of this game as a piece of art. So you're quite close. But actually, it is a fragment of astronomical glass. It was made for the Greenwich Observatory. The man who actually created it had got this wonderful astronomical telescope he's making. It was all warm. That was a comment on the story. And once it was warm, somebody opened the door of his laboratory and a blast of cold air came in and destroyed it all. Aren't you fascinated?
Good night, children everywhere.
We've reached the halfway mark in our show.
You
Tony
got
Statton.
Through to the Samaritans.
Tony Slattery has taken the lead, just one ahead of Ted Robbins, and then comes Richard Ranch and Arthur Smith as we go into a halfway mark. And as you savour the wisdom of the discourses that you have just heard, we are going to spoil the whole edifying experience with some adverts. We'll see you after this.
Play Just a Minute with the Evening Standard.
Welcome back to Just a Minute, the trendy new improvised comedy show that's been going for over a quarter of a century. We're going to do something slightly different now. Instead of me giving the panellists a subject, I'm going to ask the audience to give them a subject on which they would like one of them to speak. So have you any suggestions for subjects from our very attractive-looking audience here? Yeah, there's one up there. The gentleman in the green sweater.
I'd like the panel to discuss Nelson's column, please.
You'd like them to discuss Nelson's column?
Yes.
Yes, all right. Any other suggestions? The lady in the back with the lovely hair, yes.
The first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods.
The first day of the laundry sale at Harrods.
Lingerie.
They
don't sell laundry.
I don't have a laundry sale, no. Ted, I think you'd like you to begin. What about the Harrods one? That's not bad.
The lingerie sale at Harrods.
Yes. So what about, in fact, the first day of the laundry sale at Harrods? Ted, will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
In fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods is usually a complete wipeout because everybody is staying at home watching Just a Minute, where I use the word in fact loads of times because I can use it this time as it's in the title.
Yes.
Two becauses.
You can't scratch us in fact out of the closet.
It's your idea.
So, Richard,
can we not change it to because, in fact?
Richard, you have a correct challenge. Another point to you, and you have the subject, in fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods. 48 seconds starting now.
In fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods is the only day of the lingerie sale.
Yes, Tony.
I'm sorry, I withdraw.
You can't do that in this game. What do you want to say, Arthur?
Oh, yeah, I think I also withdraw.
Well, if everyone's leaving, so am I.
And I can't do the show alone, Sir Richard Branch. We have an incorrect challenge. Now, the point to you, in fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods, 43 seconds starting now.
The lingerie sale at Harrods only lasts one day. This is because the...
Yes.
Well, he's done 2 days. He's done about 3 or 4 days.
I know.
Days on the card.
In fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods.
Only lasts one day, but he'd had another day earlier on.
But days on the card.
The day is a part of the subject.
No, but he'd had another... Ah.
38 seconds, Richard. In fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods, 38 seconds starting now.
I queued up outside the front door of Harrods for 7 days because I wanted to buy a particular piece of lingerie. It was a black basque which did up at the front. Very useful if you're doing it on your own. I also purchased a pair of suspenders and stockings. Why did you get that?
Obviously, the purchase of the stockings and suspenders caused him to stumble and falter there.
Yes, very devious thought as well, but he definitely hesitated. Ted, you have the subject back, which you started with, and it's been very conveniently. It begins with, in fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods. 20 seconds starting now.
In fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods is very popular because I go and buy leather posing pouches there.
Richard.
Another because.
I'm very... it's not even funny now. Tedious. Sorry.
Richard, he said because again, repeated himself 15 seconds on that subject, starting now.
Frilly knickers. Those are the things which sell the fastest on this particular day. People go into the shop and hit each other with their handbags because they want that particular product.
Yes, Tony.
Two particulars.
Two particulars. Yes. Tony, you've got him with 4 seconds to go on, in fact, the first day of the lingerie sale at Harrods, starting now.
I much prefer the first day of the laundry sale when you can go through other people's pants and say, oh, where'd you get those?
Time for one more round. And it's time to begin. Tony, can you tell us something about the Lord Mayor's show? You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
The Lord Mayor's show is something which happens in London. Lots of poncy people in ermine parade up and down the street in the carriages and the horses leaving dung. Ooh!
Two horses.
There are lots of horses, yes, but you can't repeat the word. 50 seconds are left for you, Richard, to tell us something about the Lord Mayor's show, starting now.
The Lord Mayors show their bottoms when they are inaugurated. This is a tradition that goes back hundreds of years.
Well, if that isn't deviated, Lord Mayor's bottoms deviating, then I don't know.
It may be a devious thought, but it wasn't deviating from the subject on the card, you see, Ted.
Isn't that what it means?
No. So you keep the Lord Mayor's show, and there are 43 seconds, starting now.
Lady mayoresses have never been involved in...
Bruce Forsyth. Never...
Tony, will you tell us something about the Lord Mayor's show again? 40 seconds are left, starting now.
I do find the Lord Mayor's show tedious. I think instead of the aforementioned jingle...
Yes.
Is it a pause and the hesitation in the aforementioned...
Yes, all right. So you have another point and you have 33 seconds. The Lord Mayor's show starting now.
The Lord Mayor's show is very peculiar as it goes through the window and everybody looks at it and everyone says and everyone says and everyone says and everyone says...
Everyone says.
Everyone says. 28 seconds. The Lord Mayor's show starting now.
Back in 1823, the Lord Mayor of London decided not to have a show. The whole town...
A little hesitation there?
Yes, no hesitation. 18 seconds for you. The Lord Mayor's show, Ted, starting now.
The Lord Mayor's show is a magnificent sight. The trooping of the colour pales into significance before that.
Yes,
Ted. Stumbled. Depales.
Depales into significance, too. Right. 14 seconds. The Lord Mayor's show, Tony, starting now.
I want the Lord Mayor's show to be Oklahoma. That's what I'd like.
He said, that's what I like. So you're going to go, the Lord Mayor's show. And I go, it's like a coughing programme, this.
10 seconds of the Lord Mayor's show, Ted, starting now.
As the horses steam away and people follow with little shovels to pick up all the things that drop from the horses, they say, that's very nice, Arthur.
Horses.
Yes, there are too many horses. 4 seconds are left for you, Arthur, on the Lord Mayor's show, starting now.
It usually takes place on the second Sunday in November, I believe, but I'm absolutely wrong in saying that, I imagine. Yes!
It's a very interesting result this week because out equal in the lead were Ted Robbins, Richard Branch and Tony Stackley. They all had 20 points. 3 winners! How are they got all those points? There is a mystery. But there we are. That's all we've got time for. If you want to see the show again, you'll just have to look out for a reconstruction of it on Crime Watch. So from Tony Slattery, Richard Branch, Ted Robbins and Arthur Smith and myself, Nicholas Parsons, we hope you have enjoyed the show, and until we burst through on your television screens again, from all of us here, goodbye and good night.
They'll be bursting onto our screens next Tuesday night at the same time of 10:40. Play Just a Minute with the Evening Standard.